Hello, podcast people. Welcome back to another episode of Quick Hits. I am your host, Matt Federico. I am in the Quick Hits studio. You want to hit me up? The Twitter account is at ProWPodcast. The reason why it's at ProWPodcast and not, let's say, at Quick Hits is because this show is actually under the Pro Wrestling umbrella. Pro Wrestling Podcast umbrella. Pro Wrestling Podcast is the main show that I do every other week with Nick. It's our main show, and he has a separate YouTube show he does. This is my separate show called Quick Hits. If you're new to the show, what it is it's a wrestling hybrid podcast. Now, what I mean by that is you're going to get the wrestling stories, but you're also going to get news stories kind of mixed in with the wrestling. So you get a little bit of everything. You know, I try to please everyone best I can with that. So let's get into the topics for today. I want to start off by this very disturbing news story that I heard. Apparently in North Carolina, a little 9-year-old kid, he does what every other little kid in America does. He wants to earn some money, so he sets up this lemonade stand. I'm not sure how much he's charging for a lemonade. That's besides the point. Because what happened was, I guess his parents must have been one of those things where the parents go, okay, well, you're doing fine out here. We're going to watch you from the window in the house, whatever. So the parents are in the house. It's just a kid outside. The kid got held up at gunpoint. Let that sink in for a minute. He got held up at gunpoint at a lemonade stand, and he's 9 years old. I find that very disturbing. That you have to hold up a little kid at a lemonade stand. What happened? Was a 7-Eleven closed? I mean, I know robbing people at gunpoint is wrong regardless. It's a little kid. That makes no sense. I believe he only walked off with like $17. What's that gonna buy you? Not a whole lot. Maybe gas money for your getaway car? You see, I don't have any kids. I have a couple nephews. And I have a niece. And I have a niece on the way. Now, if anything like that ever happened to them, you know how pissed off I would be? The strange thing is, the parents let him set up that lemonade stand the next day. There's no way I'm going to let my kid or one of my nieces or nephews set up their lemonade stand the next day after being held up at gunpoint. That's just disturbing to me. I haven't really read too far into that, because I would like to know if they actually caught the... Well, I'm assuming they caught the guy. I mean, you can't really go far, right? But, man, how low does a person have to be? That's sad. You can't even trust that your kid will be okay with a lemonade stand anymore. I mean, like I said before, what, the 7-Eleven was closed? I mean, you're used to hearing these news stories about guys robbing, like, gas stations or... At least in the area I live, the big thing here is a smash and grab. Now, what a smash and grab is, they'll take a car and drive it into like a building and grab the ATM machine and leave with the ATM machine. Now, I get so caught up, I'm hearing those kind of stories all the time. But then when you hear about a story like this, it kind of just throws me off a little bit. Like, why would someone do that? you know how traumatic that has to be for the kid? Alright, well, enough of this story, because, like I said, I'm sick of it. Let's go into the wrestling story. Let's start off with John Cena versus Kevin Owens. It's been announced that they'll face each other at the Down Under pay-per-view event. For those of you who remember, they had a feud back in 2015, which I believe is when Kevin Owens first debuted. It was during like a United States Open Challenge. Cena, of course, was the United States champion back then. And Kevin Owens was the NXT champion at the time. So the first match was at the Elimination Chamber pay-per-view. Champion versus champion. And Kevin Owens did come out on top on that one. Then they fought each other again at Money in the Bank. This time John Cena won. And then they had a rubber match, if you will. And that was at the Battleground pay-per-view, of John Cena going over. Now, even though Kevin Owens kind of fell short on that part of the feud, that kind of really helped bolster his career. You figure a guy from NXT coming into on the main roster, and he's feuding with future Hall of Famer legend John Cena, the face of the company. So that's really like a make or break kind of feud at the time for Kevin Owens. And like I said, Kevin Owens came up short. But once you kind of look at Kevin Owens' career ever since that, I mean, you're talking a former Universal Champion. I mean, so he's done pretty well for himself. He's actually involved with this feud right now with Braun Strowman for the Money in the Bank briefcase. So who knows? It's possible Owens could win that match, cash in, and become Universal Champion again. Which I would like to see, because there's only been 4 Universal Champions. So if Kevin Owens somehow wins that belt, he'll be the first guy in history to win the Universal Championship multiple times. And to me, that's something that's kind of missing from his feud with Braun Strowman. They don't really talk about how no one's won that belt more than once. I would love to see Kevin Owens do it, make history, and kind of continue on this path that he's on ever since he debuted on the main roster. You know, I've been really entertained with him. He's actually one of my favorites that they got in the whole company, for that matter. I do like him over on Raw. I would be interested to see how he fares over on SmackDown. Because I believe you could have him feuding with AJ Styles for the WWE Championship. I do see him as a main eventer. He's so early on in his WWE career right now. But like I said, I see him, and this is in the future, main eventing pay-per-view after pay-per-view, competing for either the Universal Championship or the WWE Championship, depending on what brand they put him on. It's also worth noting that at the Down Under pay-per-view, there's only one other match that's been announced. Of course, I'm talking about the Triple H versus The Undertaker match. Kind of a last of its era kind of match. Last time ever. Undertaker, of course, on the downside of his career. Triple H, same thing with him. He's more of a office guy. He's a CEO. The COO of the WWE. So he's kind of taking a back seat into the corporate role. He's kind of moving on with that. So I was a little surprised to see Triple H announced for that. Just because it seems like if he does wrestle, it's going to be at a big event. Kind of like a WrestleMania or a SummerSlam type of match. But I guess with this being like a special pay-per-view event, with it being from Australia, I understand why Triple H would lace up the boots one more time. I understand why they would pick up the phone, call The Undertaker, hey, we need you for this match. So I'm okay with that so far. Like I said, those are the only two matches they've announced. They have announced like a whole list of people scheduled to appear. I don't have that list in front of me right now, but I do remember Shawn Michaels being on that. So I kind of wonder if we'll be seeing some kind of DX reunion during that match. Because you could have Shawn Michaels come out and cost The Undertaker the match, potentially. Whether they move forward with that or not, that remains to be seen. Let's kind of jump around today. We'll talk about the sports story I got for you guys. It's the Cleveland Browns. Now, I favor Cleveland sports teams just because I live in a suburb of Cleveland. I mean, Cleveland's like literally a few minutes away from me. If I go over a couple blocks over on Ridge Road, I'm looking down. I can see like skyscrapers and like the landscape of Cleveland. It's a real nice view. But anyways, the Cleveland Browns did have their first preseason game. It was an away game against the New York Giants. It was a pretty big game because Baker Mayfield made his debut for the Cleveland Browns. He came in relief of Tyrod Taylor, who I believe he went 9-for-9 or he went 10-for-10. Either way, he was perfect. Tyrod Taylor also had a touchdown pass. Baker Mayfield, one of the things I noticed about him, and you know, it's always been reported, oh, Baker Mayfield, he's a run-first quarterback. He proved he can stay in the pocket and make the throws. He was throwing downfield, which I loved. You know, I think in this league, especially in their division, you have to be able to throw downfield. It's funny, they used to say defenses wins championships. I think we're moving forward with offense wins championships. And it seems like every team is trying to piece together the perfect offense, have a perfect combination between run and throwing the ball. I do want to really stress this. If you're a fan of the Cleveland Browns, don't get too excited. It's only preseason. It's only the first game of the preseason. If you guys remember, last year, the Browns actually went undefeated in the preseason. And then, of course, the regular season, 0-16. So I usually don't put too much stock into preseason. The only thing I can say is I kind of wish it was like a championship for preseason, because I guarantee you the Browns would win that thing like every year. They always seem to do good in the preseason. But then again, that's probably because teams don't go full force during preseason. If you want full force, wait till the beginning of the season. Now, I've been hearing like a lot of national guys, even Vegas. Vegas has the Browns favored to win like 7.5 games. Actually, that was earlier in the week, so that odds may have changed. I'm not sure. I don't really bet on games, so I couldn't tell you guys. So if you do bet on games, definitely check that out. Because if it's still set at 7.5, I would definitely take the under on that. Personally, I see them winning 3, maybe 4 games. Because in my mind, you don't go 0-16 one year, and then the following year win 7, 8 games. I just don't see that happening. And one of the things I can point to is the Detroit Lions, because they're the only team in history other than the Browns to go 0-16. Now, when they went 0-16, the following year, they only won 2 games. So it's going to be a process. So I just want to urge Cleveland Browns fans, don't get too excited. Give it time. Wait it out, because like I said, I only see them winning 3, maybe 4 games. It's going to be another long year, I believe. I think the following year, 2019, I'll be sitting here predicting about 6 wins. So it's going to take time. This is definitely one of the biggest, probably the biggest, actually, the biggest rebuild in NFL history. The Browns just, they just can't get it right. I mean, I've been a fan of them since 99 when they came back in the league. That's when I really started getting into football, and it just wasn't happening. I've sat here and watched since 99. Almost 20 years. And they just can't... they can't even find a quarterback. Hopefully they're on the right track with Tyrod Taylor and Baker Mayfield. I know they also have Drew Stanton on there. It'll be interesting to see how that plays out. A lot of people are wondering if Mayfield will see actual playing time during the regular season. I keep saying this over and over. Sit the quarterback. If I was coaching the team, it would be Tyrod Taylor. And if he went down with like an injury, you know, knock on wood. If he goes down with an injury, I would start Drew Stanton after Tyrod Taylor. Let Mayfield sit and learn. Now, they also had a wide receiver, Callaway, got into some legal trouble, got pulled over at some weed in his car. They've been saying that the car was shipped over to him. He had no idea that there was weed in it, and his license is not suspended. And so really, you're looking at maybe him breaking curfew. So the Browns did play him longer than any other starter, which I like. Wear him out. Sean, you can't be doing that. Lay the law down. On that note, let's talk about the Bludgeon Brothers. They're facing the New Day at SummerSlam for the SmackDown Tag Team Championships. The New Day defeated the Bar in what was a classic match on SmackDown to earn their way into the match at SummerSlam with the Bludgeon Brothers. But really, when you face the Bludgeon Brothers, how much of a victory is that? I mean, you should be happy, you move forward to face the champs. But when the champs are the Bludgeon Brothers, it's going to be tough. But the New Day, 4-time WWE champion, tag team champions. They're the only tag team in history to win the Raw Tag Team Championships and the SmackDown Tag Team Championships. So they're already a good tag team, very proven. The Bludgeon Brothers and their first reign as tag team champions. And it's been a lengthy one at that. So, do I think the Bludgeon Brothers will retain? I actually do. I think they're going to be dominant. And they already beat the New Day before. Although I could also see the New Day beating them. And then there being a third match, kind of the rubber match, because, you know, the Bludgeon Brothers will be owed a rematch when they do lose the tag team titles. That's just the way how it goes. It's a typical contract clause that they do in every championship. But I'm looking forward to seeing what the Bludgeon Brothers could do on a major pay-per-view like SummerSlam. Usually in the past, they've been, you know, with Bray Wyatt. This is really the first time they've been out on their own. So looking forward to seeing what they could do. I'd be interested to see if the New Day doesn't win. Who do you have beat the Bludgeon Brothers for the tag team championships? Is there another tag team you could bring in? Do you put two guys together? It's going to be tough because they're a tough tag team. The Bludgeon Brothers took on, granted, they're jobbers, but three guys at one time ran through them like it was nothing. But I would like to take this time to tell you guys about the bachelor party I just recently had. When I say recently, I mean last night. It was thrown together by my best man, my podcast host, Nick Federico. And he did a good job. Went to a bar, met up with some family, some friends, hung out there for a while, had a drink, had a pizza, had a shot. We go over to the strip club was next. And now this may sound kind of weird. I've never been to a strip club and I'm 30 years old. I've just never been. So it was interesting. They paid for a lap dance for me. That was interesting. The dancer actually went for this move. She did like a handstand and she slipped. So I like literally had to catch her. I mean, other than that, that dancer was, she was very nice. She was talking to me about like the wedding and stuff. Pretty good looking, not gonna lie. I had a really, really good time. So Nick, if you're listening, I just want to thank you for putting that all together. It was a good time. I enjoyed it. My two buddies got in trouble with the bouncers. One of them ended up with a bra on his head. So the other one took out his phone, took a picture of him, which is a no-no in a strip club. You can't take pictures, so don't do it. Don't try it. Otherwise, you'll have two very large bouncers yelling at you saying, absolutely no pictures. They actually didn't make them delete the picture. But picture came out pretty good. Do you gotta say that? But I do want to thank Nick again for the good time I had. I actually don't really drink a whole lot. It's been like 5 years since I last drank. So, and it's not because I had like a alcohol problem by any means. It's because it's just not for me. I don't like drinking and then waking up the next morning hungover. But I did drink. I had, I believe, 3 beers, 2 shots, something like that. Not enough to really do any damage because, you know, this is spread out through the course of the night. So basically just enough to kind of unwind. And I did have a good buzz going at one point. And again, it was a real good bachelor party. I enjoyed it. So thank you, Nick, if you're listening. Appreciate it. So if you guys want to hit us up on Twitter, at ProWPodcast. Again, that's at ProWPodcast. I'm getting married in like a month. So I need advice here, guys, on like marriage tips. So please hit me up on Twitter, at ProWrestlingPodcast. I'm going to be saying that a lot. At Pro Wrestling Podcast. At Pro Wrestling Podcast. At Pro Wrestling. Wait a minute. I'm giving out the wrong podcast name. It's at Pro W Podcast. At Pro W Podcast. At Pro W Podcast. Man, I really screwed that one up. that's a blooper for you guys. But hit me up with some marriage advice at Pro W Podcast. Pro Wrestling Podcast, that's the name of the show. Gotta get those two right. You know what? I'm feeling pretty good. I think I'm gonna end the show. So if you guys want to listen more on a regular basis, please check us out. Check me out on Spotify. Just do a search for Quick Hits. My picture is on there. It's me holding up the WWE Championship belt. So look for me on Spotify. Look for me on Twitter. And I'll see you guys next week.